This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to an iFanboy special edition podcast, Iron Man 2. Hey, welcome to a special edition of the iFanboy podcast. My name is Ron Richards, and I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Howdy.
And it's just us, just the two of us.
Wow. It's a little more intimate than I'm used to.
It's an intimate chat about Iron Man. For those of you who are uninitiated, we are from the website ifanboy.com, which is a website all about comics and the wonderful world of comic books, including the movies that come out that are adapted from comic books. And whenever a big movie releases, we get here and we chat about it. And this past weekend, Iron Man 2 hit theaters, the much anticipated sequel and next chapter in what seems to be a series of Avengers-related Marvel movies that are going to be hitting us every year for the next 3 years.
You may have heard about it.
Yeah, possibly. So just to warn everybody, we're going to be talking about the movie. We're going to talk about what we thought about the movie. And in doing so, we're going to talk about what happens in the movie. So if you haven't seen the movie, if you don't know that Robert Downey Jr. plays Tony Stark, who happens to be Iron Man, press pause, go rent the first movie, then go to the theater, see the second movie, and then come back. But if you haven't seen the movie yet, we don't want to ruin it for anybody. So spoilers, be warned. We're going to be talking about what happens during the film.
So. Yes.
Yeah, so it happened. It's out.
It is. It's out. I believe we both went and saw it. If you're yes. If you're listening to this and you're not following current events, Connor is he's not around for this one. So
it's chapping his ass that he's missing this.
Oh, I bet
he was really excited about
it. At the end. I think we should do a segment on what we think he would say.
Right, possibly.
So we'll see what we say first. And remember, I don't know if those of you out there are historians and this sort of thing, but the last time that Ron and I did one together was G.I. Joe, and that is, I think, our best special edition podcast ever.
It might be. I don't know if we have as much material as what G.I. Joe gave us.
I definitely don't, because bad movies are better.
Yeah, exactly. But that said, I enjoyed this movie. It was enjoyable.
It was a movie.
I don't think that's a comparing it to the first one. I think the first one was better.
It's funny because I came into this thinking that you are a guy who is for all intents and purposes, you are in love with Robert Downey Jr. And I thought
I am.
Because of this reason, you are going to maybe give it more credit than I perhaps would have.
Well, yeah, possibly, but I want to get to that later on. Okay. When we get to the nitpicks and the things like that. So, you know, but let's first talk about what we liked about it. Okay. I mean, are you binary thumbs up, thumbs down, what do you give it?
It wasn't bad, but I was disappointed.
Interesting. And did your expectations get too high or?
No. You know what? I read a really bad review of it. Before I went,
and Time Out New York.
Actually, yes, and it was the same guy who wrote the Losers one. So I was
that
like,
son of a bitch.
No, and I was like, screw you! I hate this guy. And I went in and I watched the movie. I was like, freak, he's right. And it was awful, and I didn't want it to be. So I went in not with low expectations. I was like, I'm gonna have fun. I was really looking forward to it. And then things kept popping out to me that were bothering me. And like overall, it wasn't bad, but there was just. There was not much new brought to the table that wasn't in the first movie, So I felt like we were just kind of covering ground that we'd already done. If you think about like the villain, like the fight at the end was, I was like, oh, is this more robots?
Yeah.
In a way, and all the things that I like, I can sum it up this way, and I don't want to start off this way because you know it was fun and whatever, but I don't have much to say about that stuff because it's sort of self-evident. So why don't you talk about what you liked and then
I really enjoyed it. So just to kind of recap my experience, I was here in San Francisco. I saw it Thursday night at midnight at the IMAX, which is, you know me, I'm very anti-IMAX.
I don't like IMAX.
Yeah, I think it's just too much, you know. But actually, it wasn't that bad. I give the IMAX experience thumbs up. I was rolling with a crew of about 17 people.
Seat saving nightmare.
Oh, actually, it was executed very, very, very well. The theater opened up, the IMAX theater, like hours before. Mm-hmm. Like I got there at like 10:30, and half my crew was already there, seat saved, and half the theater was more than half full already.
Is it a dance crew?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you refer to it as a crew.
Then we b-boy danced outside
This was like a warm up for Step Up 3D.
Yeah, I can't wait for Step Up 3D. Anyway, so we got there. The theater was packed with nerds. A lot of people had the little circle light up things on under their shirts, which was fun. You know, like it was a very good crowd to see the movie with. So it was already biased in that regard. I don't know if it was. It definitely does help. It wasn't like, you know, a Saturday morning 10. Like I saw The Losers at 11 a.m. and was one of 10 people in the theater. But one criticism of, I don't know if it's IMAX or this movie, but I didn't get any trailers. It must have been IMAX.
It must have been. I got trailers. Yeah.
Did you get Scott Pilgrim or no?
No.
I just want to see that on the big screen.
Yeah,
anyway.
I can deal with that.
Yeah. So I had a good crowd going into it. Just to quickly recap, you know, it picks up about what, like 6 months after the first movie. And we get introduced to the Mickey Rourke character, who's the Russian guy who apparently his father got screwed over by Tony Stark's father. Everyone's got an axe to grind.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, you know, but
well,
whatever.
When you're on top, everyone wants to knock you down.
Exactly. And the subtext is that Tony, the little device in his chest, runs on a certain element, and that's slowly killing Tony or quickly killing him. And so he's is looming, you know, as Tony's trying to figure out how to solve it, but also seem aloof and seem as everything's great. And at the same time, you get some frayed relations between him and his buddy James Rhodes, who is his liaison for the Air Force. And then we also get introduced to the corporate villain of Justin Hammer. And a lot of this was picked up from like the Armor Wars storyline. So that, you know, and the general plot of this is that the government wants the Iron Man on armor. Tony Stark won't give it. So Hammer starts developing his own, and of course things go awry because the Mickey Rourke's Russian character has an axe to grind, and so screws things up. That's the high level plot. Yeah. I thought, you know, it moved along well. I found myself not completely overwhelmed by the fighting and the special effects, but almost. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't Transformers head spinning. Uh-huh. Like, I can't see what's going on screen during Transformers movies. I just have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, we got old eyes.
Yeah, we got the old eyes. Yeah, but this, I think, balanced it pretty well. You got a lot of Nick Fury screen time.
Yep.
Yeah, just out in the open.
I was like, he's getting old.
Yeah, I noticed
Dude's like in his mid to late 60s at this point.
Yeah.
He's not
young.
No,
he can't be late 60s.
He's older. He's around 60 at least.
Wow. This is the first movie I noticed that where I was like, "Oh, he's looking a little tubby."
Yeah.
So I was surprised that, you know, like they're just kind of out in the open about it, you know, like that he's Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. exists. And I thought that was kind of interesting. He was born in 1948. There you go.
I pulled it up at the same time.
He's as old as my dad. Wow. That's crazy. All right. Yeah. Good for him.
Normally his ass would be dead as fried chicken by now.
All right. My dad's doing okay.
I was quoting Pulp Fiction.
I know. I'm just kidding. A lot of Nick Fury. I think one of the my personal favorites of what happened was that we get a lot of through some flashback videos and some secret films. We get Howard Stark on film.
Best part of the movie.
John Slattery.
I was
from
so
Mad
happy.
Men.
I was like, Roger Sterling is Howard Stark.
Yeah, perfect.
Sign me up.
Exactly.
I saw his name in the credits, and I was like.
And I liked how they had they positioned Howard Stark as this cross between military complex industrialist and Walt Disney.
Yeah,
which was great, which is honestly really good. Justin Theroux wrote the script, which I thought was interesting.
I did see that. Brenda's boyfriend from the second to last season on 6 Feet Under.
Yes, yeah.
That's the first thing.
Well, he wrote Tropic Thunder, and apparently Robert Downey Jr. pushed to have him be the writer for it after Tropic Thunder.
And when Robert Downey Jr. pushes, pull.
So John Slattery was great. I thought, and again, while I thoroughly enjoy Robert Downey Jr., and we're going to get that in a little bit, I also have a thorough enjoyment for the work of Sam Rockwell.
Do you now?
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Everything I've ever seen him in has been perfect. Mm-hmm. And he played Justin Hammer, and I wanted more Justin Hammer on the screen. Like, every time he was on, it was fantastic.
Here's where I will probably diverge from you a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to actually bring myself into this. I was about 21, 22, 23, I found out that if I overdid it too much with my personality, I got attention for it. And then I found out that I was overdoing it too much and I was annoying people. And eventually my wife, who I started dating soon after that, was like, you need to calm down. And I realized I was kind of being annoying. And I felt...
So wait a minute. This happened years ago?
Yeah, I know. You remember how it used to be. You remember, you'd be talking to Jared, my old roommate, and they'd be like, ugh, Josh, ugh, he's hard.
Yeah.
And I, that sticks in my mind. But what this movie was to me, especially in terms of Robert Downey Jr. and Justin Hammer, was... There was a little of something that was really good in the last movie, and then they cranked it up in this movie, and I was really getting tired of it.
That's my point about Robert Downey Jr. And now we're blurring the lines between what we liked and what was criticism. But whatever, format be damned. Connor's not here. He's on vacation. We can do whatever we want. I love Robert Downey Jr. Love him, love him, love him. I felt as if he had turned Tony Stark up to like 12.
Yes, it was.
And I wanted it back down to 8.
It was a little more Gary Oldman than I would like.
Yeah.
And my point about Sam Rockwell is I don't think he was well placed in this because his energy is too similar to Robert Downey Jr.'s. They were both similar to one another to me that the two of them in combination with all of that extra like yammering. I was like, okay, it's too much.
I thought it worked though. And actually, I got to give credit because I think Jimsky, one of the writers over at iFanboy, tweeted about this, and he says that Sam Rockwell played a character who's trying too hard to be like Robert Downey Jr.
Maybe.
And honestly, if that was the motivation, like, listen, Justin Hammer, you're jealous of Tony, you want to be like Tony, go do it. And in that regard, I thought he nailed it.
You know, I
like
can
he
was, see that.
Like when he gave his presentation at the end at the big expo and he came out to music and he's like dancing and nobody cared and he made a joke and like no one laughed. Like that was – he was like the wannabe Tony Stark and
– Maybe he just had too much screen time, but I just felt like I wanted somebody opposite him. So in that same respect, one of the things I really did like about this movie was I actually really liked Mickey Rourke and I did not expect to. You know, those first images you saw of him however many years ago, it was like, ooh, I don't know about that. But other than the fact that creating whips is kind of dumb, which fine, I can live with that. But it is his energy was opposite. His calmness, his stillness about the whole thing played against Tony Stark in a way that I thought actually worked really well. So that part was one thing I really liked a lot.
Yeah, and on the same boat, I was horrified of Scarlett Johansson and Black Widow. Mm-hmm. And that came out of that thinking being completely 180'd, and that was nothing to worry about. Like she was Scarlett Johansson, she played a role. When she was Black Widow, it was badass and it was awesome.
Bored by her. I thought she wasn't putting anything out at all. And I think that's one of her – I don't think she's a great actor. She is – one of the most amazing things to look at on God's green earth, and no one can deny that. But like when she would talk, and I get it, like she was trying to be bland, but I was like, I don't think she's like. If you look at it, it's the exact same performance as she did in Ghost World, just that sort of quiet, disinterested neutrality.
Yeah, but the action scene with her as Black Widow, you got to admit, was pretty cool.
I've seen The Matrix.
Anyway,
I kept expecting to be. I really want, like, you know, you'd see a lot of fanboys were like, oh, it was awesome. It was better than the first one. And
I think that's just enthusiasm.
But it just felt to me more like it's that fight scene, for example, just felt kind of standard. The other thing was that it felt very – this is a thing that gets overused a lot. It felt to me like a video game because it was just all these nameless security guard henchmen, and which is fine. But like, when was the last time that you saw a security guard that looked like it could – like he could do anything?
Right,
and there were hundreds of them in these hallways.
Yeah, but it's a comic book movie. I mean, it's,
I know,
it's just,
but that I don't accept that as an argument at all. I was just kind of bored by that, and that was it. That was her one scene. She didn't. You could have taken her out of the movie,
and it wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't have mattered one bit. So she did.
I mean, what she did was she added more depth to Nick Fury and the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, that she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and all that sort of stuff.
Sure,
and,
but her part could have been tiny. Didn't need to be there. He could have done that with Bugs.
He could have done that with Bugs.
True. what is he called? Life model decoys.
Yeah.
something.
Anyway, but so I don't know. I thought I thought Don Cheadle was fine as Rhodey. Yeah, no, I mean, he's a great actor, there's no problem. I thought the War Machine, though, that's the one thing, is that I did think that the jump between Rhodey being pissed off at Stark and then stealing his armor and then going to Hammer and having it pimped out and becoming a tool of Hammer happened really fast.
And for some reason, I don't entirely understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, my friend here is losing it and he's drunk in his suit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go put on his other suit, instantly know how to use it,
yep.
get in a big fight with him, wreck his house, and then take it. And I was like, it seemed like out of character, I suppose.
Yeah, it seemed a little out of character.
There was just little things like that all the time that weren't like egregious, but just made me sort of go, huh.
Well, it's funny because ever since reading Jeff Bridges' account of what making the first movie was like, in that they were like writing dialogue on set and telling what to do, I got the feeling like they had, you know, the way, and I don't know how John Favreau directs or what the plan is, but they're like, all right, we want to do this and then we want to get here. Mm-hmm. So how do we just do that really quickly?
Yeah. I'll tell you how he directs. Queens is in the motherfucking house. That movie was all Queens.
The Flushing was a big role of that. Yes. It was good. And finally, the one of the other things that I loved, which is again my stupid little just enjoyment of actors, is Gary Shandling as the senator, which is fantastic.
He wasn't bad. I hate Gary Shandling.
I love Gary Shandling. Love him. Love him. Yeah.
Awful. I'd like to point out to people on our website, this is how you can disagree with each other respectfully.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, you and I are going to have opposite things on this, and I get it. It's your thing.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
What else? You know what's funny is that for a while in some of the previews and trailers, they had shown this suit that was the suitcase suit. And people were like, oh, I don't like the look of that. And I was like, oh, whatever. And then I saw it and I was like, oh, I don't like the look of that. But then it turned out that that wasn't the deal.
Right.
So I was fine with that.
What happened to the scene where he's on, when he jumps out of the plane and Pepper's on the plane and she kisses the mask and throws it?
I do not know.
That was in the trailer, right? I'm not crazy.
I don't remember. It sounds vaguely familiar, but
yeah, there was one of the trailers had him talking to Pepper on the plane, and he's like, "I get a kiss," and she kisses the mask. He's got the mask off. She kisses the Iron Man mask and throws it out the plane. And then he runs and jumps and grabs.
That
it.
Was definitely not in the movie.
Oh, it was not. I know it was.
I think that at the beginning of the movie, I was thrown off a lot because I thought that Tony Stark was being too egotistic. I just remember thinking during that whole Senate scene.
Yeah,
I thought if imagine for a second that somebody who was the top of the corporate world, totally rich person, did that, America would hate him for it.
Well, I don't know because
it'd be a massive backlash. That thing at the end, like where you like talk to the camera and he put the peace signs up and he's like, I think that there's a limit to what people would actually like.
But again, it's suspension of disbelief. Popcorn movie. Yeah,
I don't believe
that even though I love Gary Shandler, I don't believe a senator would say fuck you at one of those hearings.
I agree, although. Yeah. You know, it's happened closed, so somebody could make it so mad. Although, that's either way. That was I actually kind of liked that bit. And then, there were things that happened that I was like, this is ridiculous. And then it was sort of dealt with, like when he was dancing at the party, I was like, okay, we're veering into Spider-Man 3 territory here. And then
the awkward birthday party drunk in the suit with DJ AM or whatever it is, that was weird.
Yes, it was. Well, again, I was like, why do I know that name?
Yeah. But we got a glimpse of Demon in a Bottle forthcoming or whatever with drunk Tony.
But they explained it away. They didn't put that, like, they used that as in Demon in a Bottle, like where he like smashes his stuff and shoots things. By the way, if you shoot a glass bottle in crowds of people, glass is going to hurt people. There was glass falling all over this movie. Here's
you know what I thought of during that scene? So in the party scene, there are all these girls screaming. He's in the suit and he's drunk, and they start throwing like glass bowls up in the air, and he shoots them. And then one girl comes out with a watermelon, and he's like, "Oh, some Gallagher action!" and shoots the watermelon.
Did he say Gallagher action?
Yeah, he did. Oh, he did say Gallagher. Yeah. All I could think of was it just reminded me of that state sketch with Louie where people were bringing things for him to dip his balls into.
Well, what I've learned is that if you have a blonde with large breasts in a party dress, she really likes seeing stuff get blowed up.
Yeah.
All of them are like, yes!
Exactly. There was a lot of glass broken in this movie. You're right. There was a lot of glass.
By the way, the price of admission for me right here, the fun part apparently is having this conversation where I get to nitpick.
Sure.
Yeah. I didn't sit there like stewing, this is awful. It wasn't like that, but like when I think about it, the things that I want to add up that I liked versus that left me with a weird thing, like at the end, like at one point they're in this giant complex where the Stark Expo is, right?
And it's at the Flushing Meadows.
Yeah.
And the World Trade. It's the World Trade
Fair.
Thing. Yeah.
World's Fair.
World's Fair. World's Fair. That's a different thing.
Very different. And he's flying all over the place with the monster robots coming after him. And I was thinking, why don't you leave? And then
the ocean is literally 10 miles
right
away.
There. And then at one point he said, "Hey, let's get out of here where the civilians are." And I was like, "Exactly, that's what you should do." And then they went back, and they were there for another 20 minutes. And I was like, "Why? Like, go upstate?"
Yeah. Yeah. No, even or like go the Atlantic Ocean,
yeah, or just one of those islands off the coast of New York.
Right. Yeah.
There's lots of them there. Governor's Island. There's no one there. But it's a fun place to shoot things.
Yeah.
And then my final sort of egregious thing that I really didn't like is I think that Pepper Potts was really relegated to uselessness in this movie because it was the same thing as at the end of the first movie she turned into damsel in distress. And in this one she was just flustered and flummoxed and she didn't have any of the strength and sort of any of the status that she had in the other movie.
She had grace in the first movie, even though
she could toe to toe. She stood as his assistant, a lower status character. She held sway over him, and you felt like they were on equal footing. And in this one, you didn't.
Right.
It could make sense in real life, but I thought that was one of the really good because she was the character who could talk him down in the last movie.
Yeah.
And in this one, she was like, I don't know what to do anymore, and I was just like, ugh.
Now that's another good point is that I thought there was not enough Tony in the lab scenes. Mm-hmm. There wasn't enough Tony making shit. Although that said, when he made the little protocol, when he made the element thing with the computer graphic stuff with the map with his dad's map, that was pretty cool.
That was cool. There's a thing about scenes like that. I think it was David Mamet, because I've been hearing this lately, who says
this is the second time we talked about this on The Losers. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. People like watching people who are good at things
and doing the things they're good of.
It's true because I liked watching him build the suits in the last one, and I liked watching him do that in this one where you're like, why are you cutting your wall up? Oh no, it's working. Cool.
Right. Yeah. Totally. I don't think there was enough of that.
Yeah. That's right.
But what really frustrated me was like I love the little subtle humor points that are in the movie, like the when Tony met Pepper in his office or whatever, and the swinging pendulum desk thing.
That was awesome.
That was great. It was great.
Good.
And then the little exchanges with Tony and his robots in the lab, but there was like those were few and far between, and what was there was like really forced humor. I thought
a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, and I had something to say, and it's gone.
Sorry. I also love Sam Rockwell's self-tanned hands, which was just never referred to, but his hands were just really tan.
I don't believe I noticed that.
It's just like why? It's like, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
The big reveal at the end. If you stayed all the way through the credits.
Oh, well, yeah, we got to touch that. So, of course, there's an Easter egg at the end is that, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that is signed to Tony leaves at some point and says he's going to New Mexico. And at the end of the credits, we find out why.
Agent Coulson.
Yeah, Agent Coulson. Do you know?
I loved Agent Coulson from the first one. I feel like I'm going to get a lot of letters about this one. But I was like, oh, it's a hammer. The last time we got a character, we got a walking, talking, speaking person, and I was like, I want to see somebody from one of these movies. They have everybody cast.
No, but here's the difference, and here's the thing is that we got that, and then we had to wait a couple of years until this movie.
Uh-huh.
Thor's coming out next year.
Yeah.
So you're going to get it next year. Okay. I like the teaser. There's just it being the hammer. You knew exactly what it was when it happened. My theater went crazy.
Yeah.
Like everyone screamed. Everyone knew exactly what that meant. And it was funny because like while the credits were going, all you know, the people around me were speculating what is the scene going to be because everybody avoided spoilers like the plague. Mm-hmm. And when they said New Mexico and they showed that crater, someone was like, I heard someone go, "Oh, the Hulk." And it wasn't. It was the yeah. hammer, which yeah, is awesome. Yeah, yeah. You know. Yeah. So I'm cool with it. It was a good tease for the next movie.
All right.
So yeah. So. I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was worth the price of admission. It was comparing it to Kick-Ass and the Losers and stuff like that. It's like it's hard to compare them because they're so different.
I had a lot more fun at Kick-Ass.
Interesting. Yeah.
I really did. And this is coming from me.
Yeah, I know. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah. I do. It's stupid. You know what? I had a lot more fun at the first movie, I think.
Yeah.
And because it wasn't as much fun as the first movie for me. You know, like I just think of, like, what was the plot? Like, what was the first act, second act, and third act? It was a lot of stuff that happened.
It was all kind of mixed. It was all over the place.
Yeah, and the stakes were sort of shaky, and
I
don't know. I think I wanted something a little more solid, a little more sure, instead of a lot of moments that were put together to be ultimately maybe too many moments.
I almost think that, like, there was too much Nick Fury.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, you know, I almost, and, like... And also,
He did Sam Jackson charming Nick Fury.
Yeah.
A little more than I would want. Which fanboys
Nick Fury
love.
Shouldn't be that. Nick Fury shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah.
He's more to the point badass, you know.
Yeah, he is. Actually, that's his thing. He's brusque. Yeah.
And like that whole thing like with the patch and the I got my eye on you,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. That was really? Kind of a clunker.
Yeah.
There were some clunkers.
Yeah, like step down from the donut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a great visual of him eating the donut, but like you
it
know.
Was. I loved that shot.
Yeah, yeah. But
I do like – it's funny because they used all that Demon in the Bottle stuff, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But now they can't – I feel like they can't go back and do a alcohol abuse story.
They can never do a movie that's Demon in a Bottle. You can't. You just can't. Yeah.
No, I agree because no one wants to watch it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
No one wants to watch that at all.
I don't know. It was an enjoyable next chapter. That's how I kind of see this. It was like it wasn't you know, I don't think it was better than the first one. I don't think it was awful. And I'm excited to see now, knowing that Thor and then Captain America and then Avengers ultimately are coming, I'm excited to see how it evolves. I hope that somehow Downey pops up in the Thor movie or in the Captain America movie. You know?
That's really interesting. He's not going to be Iron Man in those movies.
He's not.
That was a really long thing tacked on at the end to basically explain why.
Oh, right.
He's not going to be in those movies as Iron Man anyway.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, but they said we want Iron Man, we don't want Tony Stark, and he basically was like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
He'll be a consultant, so he'll pop on, he doesn't have to wear the Oh. Do you think they spent a little much time with the masks up?
Yes.
You're in the middle of a thing. I was like, dude, they're gonna blow you up and you don't have your mask.
But you know why. You know why.
I know exactly why, but that drives me nuts.
Yeah, no, me too. Me too.
Yeah. Totally a thing for me.
Yeah, the mask. And Don Cheadle just looked ridiculous with the mask off, by the way, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's I think the War Machine is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, but it was ridiculous in the comics, too.
No, it totally is, and that's fine, but I was like, you really ruined his aerodynamic efficiency here.
Yeah, I'm looking at the IMDb listing for Thor to see if Iron Man is listed in the cast, but he's not. Yeah. But Agent Coulson is. So you got more Agent Coulson coming.
Teddy
so.
K. That's what I think of when I see that guy.
So I don't know. You're not gonna have a bad time. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to enjoy – there's a lot of action. There's a lot of, you know, like, it's, you know.
I thought the action scenes were pretty good. I actually liked – there was a bunch of drones at the end. I liked it when they were taking out all those things and using the different weapons. I actually would have liked to see – I think in the first movie, one of the fun things was watching him use his suit, like, the first time. Like, he shot all the missiles and you saw them all target the different people, you know, who were holding the hostages and things like that. And then, you know, he uses – I love his repulsor rays. I could watch him use those.
There wasn't enough POV from the suit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like in the first movie. Like the scene when he took out all – when he went to Afghanistan or whatever and took them all out. Like, there wasn't that kind of scene. It wasn't badass Iron Man, you know. Like, it almost – like, I feel like this movie assumed a lot. Like, it assumed you knew what was happening or what
which isn't a bad assumption. I mean, if you think of it like an issue two or a second volume of a trade paperback, then, you know, you will have read the first.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I was going to say earlier, and this is a completely apt. I was a big, big, big fan of Swingers. It was really one of those movies that sort of defined what I liked about movies in the early to mid-90s. And it's one of those things, that's where I met Jon Favreau, and it's one of the reasons I always liked him. And Vince Vaughn, too. And I was really, really looking forward to their follow-up when they did Made.
Yeah.
And Made, to me, felt exactly like this movie did, that it was trying too hard.
Interesting. You're absolutely
and,
right.
And that's what this made me think of.
Yeah, like, because Swingers was like a little moment of like a little captured moment of perfection.
Yep.
And then Made just didn't have – it had all the pieces there, yep, but it didn't have that same je ne sais quoi.
And they were just trying too hard. It was like being on a date where you just won't chill out. And I – again, because I've been that guy.
Yeah.
You know, trying too hard, and that's what it is. It was Made.
I'm concerned about you saying you've been that guy.
Oh, I was a horrible.
Didn't get the reference.
Yeah, no, not that guy.
No, I'm saying that you're still that guy.
Oh,
but that's a joke. I'm just teasing you.
I'm
that's
a dad now, so I know that guy's behind me.
All right. So it was, you know, like all in all, it was enjoyable. It wasn't bad. It wasn't a stinker. You're probably gonna enjoy it. You know, I'm sure everyone on the website, you know, everybody who listens to this podcast, all has an opinion about it. So go to ifanboy.com. There's gonna be a whole post there. Tear us apart. Tell us what you disagree with it. Tell us why you liked it or why you didn't like it. And you can't deny the greatness of Sam Rockwell. It just it's an axiom of truth in this world. So
I don't think so.
But yep. Well, you are wrong. So.
You can declare this as truth, and that's fine. I do like him a lot in things, though.
Moon. Oh.
That was great for a half an hour.
Another show. All right, so go to ifanboy.com. Tell everyone what you thought of Iron Man on the post along with this, as well as check out all the great writing we've got going on over there and the other podcasts. And if you have any questions, you should use an email at contact@ifanboy.com. Josh, any closing notes? Any other comments you want to make?
Yes. If you have problems with what I said, put them on the website instead of sending me long emails.
Yes, please. That's, share them publicly.
Yeah, yeah. That'll work. Because, you know, what good is it? I'm going to go, all right.
All right. So what's the next movie?
I have no idea.
It is Jonah Hex.
Oh, boy.
That's our next movie coming up.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Supernatural Jonah Hex. So there you go. Oh, we didn't go. What do we think Connor thought?
Because I'm used to when I don't like something, Connor does like it. I can't think of anything that I didn't like that he also didn't.
I think he's going to like it. He's going to say it was perfect, and it's a perfect bridge for the next bunch of movies, and it all worked.
I think that you're probably right. He's definitely going to like it more than I did. He's going to think I was just being nitpicky.
Yeah. I think it's important to note that we both agree that Downey Jr. had turned it up a little too much.
Yes. Well, I'm glad. I'm very glad that you noticed that too.
Yeah. Because I do like, believe it or not, I do like subtlety. I like subtlety.
Subtlety is good. But you really love Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, I love him. I love him. He's great. Yeah,
you have one of those picture tattoos on your chest. No.
Well, that's the thing. Him and Sam Rockwell in one movie almost made my head explode.
Too much. So. Too much. Yeah, and Gary Oldman had been in this.
Well, Gary Shandling brought it even closer. So, anyway. All right.
He played subtle.
Yeah. He played really subtle.
Yeah. I like that. I love that. That was good.
Yeah. Oh, you really should watch the old Gary Shandling show.
Subtle. I used to watch it when I was on TV. I don't like him. I just don't like him. There's some people I don't like. I don't like him. I can't stand Richard Lewis. There's that era of comedians.
Okay, so until next time, I'm Ron.
And I'm Josh. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also like, one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.